It looks like some people decided to take advantage of the lovely weather today. So let me express my thanks for those of you who are here. It's wonderful that you're here. It also may explain the increased attendance at the earlier service, so I'm not sure about that. But thank you all for being here. Our scripture today comes from 1 John chapter 3, and I'll be reading from verses 11 through 24. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who was from the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be astonished, brothers and sisters, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. Whoever does not love abides in death. All who hate a brother or sister are murderers, and you know that murderers do not have eternal life abiding in them. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and we will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts and knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we can receive from him whatever we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of the Son, Jesus the Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandment abide in him, and he abides in them, and by this we know he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. So now stand and sing Spirit of Life. My message today is entitled, "How Abide in Love." How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? That's verse 17 from today's scripture. Let me read it again. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need, and yet refuses to help? That is a little bit tough to hear. It kind of just gets right to the point, doesn't it? There's a lot going on in these texts, even some things that we might not see right off of the bat. And my guess is that in hearing these texts, there's probably a lot going on inside of each one of us. So it seems to me that we need to work through some of these verses in particular. And one in particular that I think we're going to have to get to is verse 14 that says, whoever does not love abides in death. But we're going to work our way up to that one a little bit. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Let's start thinking about what might be going on inside of some of us when we hear that. See, most of us want to be good people. Most of us are probably the most of us that are here want to follow the teachings of Jesus. But when we hear something like that, our self-defenses probably go up just a little bit. I mean, what if? What if they're going to buy drugs or alcohol with the money I give? What if they're just trying to pull a fast one and see begging as an easy way to get some money? What if they're just lazy and are living off the hard work of others? What if? I've already read it three times, not including the time when I read it in the original verses. But let me read this verse again. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's possessions and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? See, in that verse, you'll find no ifs or buts. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother and sister in need and yet refuses to help? It's very human, and one could argue very practical or pragmatic to ask those questions before giving to someone. Now, oddly enough, just in the way that I've said that contains the answer to what some of us may see as the problem. Let me say it again. It is very human, and one could argue very practical or pragmatic to ask those what-if questions before giving to someone. You see, it is very human, very practical or pragmatic to ask those what-if questions before giving to someone. But in this verse, these verses, for that matter, they aren't talking about giving. When we reduce this to a question of giving, we make it very easy to not give. But this is ultimately about loving, not giving. Or perhaps we could say it's about giving from a loving place. So understanding that, let's revisit my earlier statement. But this time, instead of saying giving, we're going to switch it out for loving. It is very human, and one could argue very practical and pragmatic to ask those what if questions. What if they're using it to buy drugs? What if they're trying to pull a fast one? It is very human, and one could argue very practical or pragmatic, to ask those what-if questions before loving someone. Is it? I think we can all agree no. It is not practical or pragmatic to ask those questions before loving someone. So let's follow out that logic while looking at the example that this verse actually points to. So, contrasting him with Cain, who took his brother's life, the author of 1 John presents us with Jesus, who laid down his life for love of others, for the love of his brothers and sisters. Our consideration of verse 17, up to this point, leaves me with this thought. Before Jesus took the actions that ultimately led to crucifixion, did he ask the questions, what if some of them don't love me back? What if some of them take advantage of this? What if some of them are just lazy Christians and only use the name and don't back it up with action? Well, obviously it's almost laughable to even think of Jesus considering those things. Yet even as we try to follow his teachings, we sometimes allow ourselves to think those things. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's possessions and yet sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? I mentioned just a little bit earlier that there's something about that verse which we might not see right off of the bat. Now, the good news is that something will also help us understand why it can sometimes be so easy to ask those what-if questions. When in our hearts and our souls and our minds, we know that the teachings of Jesus wouldn't have us do that. It's easy to read this verse as basically saying that those who are really practicing God's love will help those in need. But listen to it yet again. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? How does? Or maybe more helpfully and probably a better translation of it, how can God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Well, that sort of changes everything in terms of the understanding that we might have of this verse. It spins the verse on its ear. It's not how can someone who has God's love in them not do these things. It's how can someone who doesn't do these things receive love? If you do not give from your place of abundance, how can you expect God's love to abide in you? That's pretty tough. But it does seem to be the point that the author of 1 John is trying to make here. He goes on to say, little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and in action. Which almost seems to be back to that whole if you have God's love, you'll do these things kind of thinking. But listen to the very next verse. And by this we will know that they are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before Him. That the last part of that verse says, and will reassure our hearts before Him. Him being the antiquated pronoun that they use for God, obviously. It kind of turns the whole thing back to the need to practice love. To practice love in a way that opens our hearts up to receiving more love. It puts our hearts in a place where they are spaces and places where love can grow more fully. That is to say, when we turn our back on those in need, we turn our hearts from love. When our thoughts turn to self-serving questions of what if, we turn our hearts from love. When we turn our backs on some people's lack of basic needs and hold on to the abundance in our lives, we turn our hearts from love. When we do these things, when we make our hearts metaphorically darker places, places where love, the light of the world, has less room to reside, we do so not because we don't wish for it to reside there, but because by our actions, we have made less space for the fullness of love to reside there. Not if that is what it takes, we say. Not if that is what we have to do. Not if that is what it will cost. All the while, 1 John points to the one who paid the ultimate cost to show us what love looks like. When we turn from love because of the cost of giving, love cannot fully reside in our hearts because our actions have made it clear that we do not want the fullness of love more than we want to be able to ask the what if questions. More than we want to hold our worldly goods more tightly. More than we want to protect our own well-being. And knowing that, love will not force itself on us. That is not what love does. Okay, now we're going to come to that difficult ending of verse 14. Whoever does not love abides in death. It's not so much, I believe, as you are choosing death. It's more that you're not making space for the one thing that can overcome life's deaths, love. So you end up abiding in the deaths of life. You see, part of the purpose of this Christian biblical text is to help us live life more fully. The biblical text, it tells us that God has told us what will make this life good, what is required of us to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with and love God, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. That which you would provide for yourself out of caring, kindness, and love, you should provide for your neighbor out of caring, kindness, and love. When we don't, well, life doesn't work quite like it should, at least not as good as it should. When love does not find a place to reside in our hearts, life becomes a little more empty and a little less meaningful. In some ways, a bit of a living death. For whoever does not abide in love abides in death. Really, in some ways, makes sense. When you give life, you get life. When you withhold life, when you withhold the things that helps a person meet their basic needs, you can get a sort of death, be it spiritual or emotional. The scripture we read today is a call. It's a call to make more space for love to move in. A call to love more fully. A call to live a fuller life. A call to choose life over death. And not just for ourselves, but for every person whose paths we cross. Now, the good news is, when we do that, when we, as the scripture says, love not in word or speech, but in truth and in action, when we do that, love will abide in our hearts, and not only will we know the fullness of life, but we will help usher it in for others. Let us be those who shout into the darkness, death, where is thy sting? Let us be the bringers of love into every corner of this planet. Where there's despair, let us bring hope. Where there's sadness, let us bring joy. Where there is need, let us bring that which is needed. Where there is darkness, may we be the light. And where there is hatred, let us bring love.